Title of my message today is Stuck on the Right Road Home. It actually comes out of some of my life experiences. I grew up in the state of Oklahoma, and Oklahoma has some extreme weather from time to time. And speaking of extreme weather, we had some of our own yesterday, didn't we? Thank God for rain. But we would have these winter storms that were kind of unique to that area of the country. There would be a cold night, and there would be a drizzle of rain, not hard rain, just a drizzle of rain. And it would fall on the pavement and freeze over. So the weather people would tell us, be careful of the black ice. That's what they called it. You couldn't see it. It was just glazed over. And one of the things that would happen, and I had this happen to me on more than one occasion, I would be trying to get home and be stuck. I wasn't lost. I knew where I was going. I had the vehicle to get there. I had gas in the tank. I had horsepower to get there. But I found myself spinning right where I was sitting, and I couldn't get traction. I've thought about that many times over the many years of I've been doing ministry, and I thought about the number of times that we spiritually get stuck. It's not that we're lost. We know who the Lord is. We've invited him into our heart. We've accepted him. We pray. We study the word. We go to church. We do all the things. We serve. Do all the things that we know to do, but we're just stuck. We're not making any progress. We're just spinning our wheels, and we're not moving forward. Am I the only one that's ever felt that way? No, of course not. And so we look for ways to try to get traction, and I'm going to talk more about that here in a few minutes, of how we get traction. How do we get out of that stuck place? But to do that, I want to give you some language today that you can use, hopefully on yourself, not somebody else. I'm giving you a tool, not a weapon, okay? There's a difference. Sometimes people come to marriage counseling, as Pastor Judy knows, and they take some of the stuff that we share and turn it into a weapon instead of a tool, using it against each other. But I want to give you some language, and I want to call it ego states. Different states of our ego. Now, some of you may not think you have one, but you do. All of us have an ego. We don't always understand its function. We don't always understand how it works, but it's there. And I want to unpack some of that for you today. I want to identify at least three stages of our ego. We have a functional stage. The functional stage is reasonable, rational, makes sense. It's that functional stage that can even be healthy. It can be a healthy functional state. In fact, for the secular counselor, that's where they're really trying to get you to, is a functional state, a healthy state of ego. This is the state that's strongly grounded in principle. It's grounded in our values. It's grounded in our skill sets. It's grounded in our training, our education. It's the way that we make intellectual assessments and judgments. It's functional. It's healthy. It's from here that we show appropriate feelings and develop healthy relationships. It's here in this state, this functional state, that we can develop healthy people skills, how to get along, how to engage other people This is a part of our healthy, functional ego state. Then there is the neurotic ego. Then there is the redeemed ego. So those are the three emotional states or ego states that I want to talk about today that I think will help you if you ever get stuck, are stuck, or need to find traction in your relationship with God. So let's talk about this neurotic ego state. Give you some things that will help you understand what it means. The neurotic ego state becomes fixated. It's stuck. The neurotic ego state can be obsessive. It goes beyond the normal and becomes obsessed. This ego state, the neurotic ego state, looks for control. They want control. The neurotic state wants to control of everybody else because it's trying to get control of self. And it becomes neurotic in that if I can control everybody else, I'll feel better about myself. And can I just tell you that control is always an illusion? The neurotic ego state is judgmental, condemning, shaming of self and others. We know we're in a neurotic state if we become very judgmental about other people. It is addictive. What I mean by addictive here is this neurotic state can become so addictive because the neurotic state always believes it's right and everybody else is wrong. So it's where this narcissism finds root, is in the neurotic ego state. Can I just tell you this morning, if you think everybody else is wrong and you're the only one that's right, you're living in a neurotic ego state, and it's not going to serve you. It will cause you great distress. Okay, let's keep talking about this. The neurotic ego has unreasonable expectations. Oftentimes, unreasonable expectations of self and unreasonable expectations of others. A neurotic ego doesn't think another person should ever make a mistake. The neurotic ego dramatizes feelings. When there's drama, it's always the presence of a neurotic ego. Now, I know I'm not talking about anybody that's here, but the neurotic ego always dramatizes feelings. It always makes it disproportionate to whatever's going on. I'll talk a little more about that in a bit. The neurotic ego believes it's entitled to special treatment. Aren't you special? This is where the entitlement comes from in our culture today. We've created, through many different avenues in our culture, this neurotic ego that all of us are to be treated special. Everybody gets a trophy. I'm just introducing my course in SOM. The neurotic ego becomes attached to an illusion. I want to unpack more of that here in a little bit, but here's how we get stuck. We get attached to an illusion. A great example of that in Scripture was the prodigal son who had the illusion that if his father would give him his inheritance, that he could go off to another country and life would be better. And so he was so attached to that illusion that he actually went to his father and begged him for an inheritance that he was only supposed to get after his father died. But he wanted it. He was attached to the illusion. And he demanded what he wanted from his father. You see, the neurotic ego is always demanding. It demands things it doesn't even have the capacity to shepherd if it had it. You see, sometimes God's not answering your prayer because you're not capable of handling what you're asking for. And then you think God is not hearing you. Or you think God has forsaken you. No, He is protecting you. You don't give everything your child asks for, especially that 2-year-old, that 3-year-old, that 4-year-old. You don't give them everything they ask for because you are loving them and you are protecting them from themselves. You see, a neurotic ego doesn't take that into consideration. It just wants what it wants and it demands it. I got caught up in that time or two in my own life. Told this in the 9 o'clock service years ago, right at the height of the ideology of name it and claim it. You just name it and you can have it. Judy, I was needing another car and I spotted one that I wanted. I named it, I claimed it. I visualized that car in my driveway. I visualized myself driving that car. I wanted that car. It was a 1978 blue, powder blue Fleetwood Cadillac. I wanted that car. I named it. I claimed it. I got it. Yeah, don't cheer. That car was in my mechanic's garage more than it was in my garage. I was feeling sorry for myself one day. Didn't have the money to pay the bill to get it out of the garage. And I was asking God for the money. I said, God, why did you give me this car? Yeah, you're ahead of me. You know what he said to me. Because that's the one you ask for. In fact, here's what he put in my heart. I had another one in mind for you, but that's the one you demanded. Be careful what you demand from God. Your neurotic ego can get you in a mess because it wants what it wants, not what is best. Thankfully, the prodigal son got to come back home, and you get to too. The functional ego seeks its own way. The neurotic ego demands its own way. The redeemed ego says, not my will, but your will be done. I took the liberty of putting this verse in the context of what I'm talking about today. In Luke 22:42, Jesus is in the garden praying. It's about time for him to go to the cross. He's agonizing in the garden. He's so agonizing, the Bible gives us detail that his sweat became like drops of blood, or was drops of blood. And there, his reasonable, functional ego says, Lord, if it's possible, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Now, that's a reasonable, functional request of our flesh. No one wants to purposely go through some excruciating situation. Lord, if it's possible, That's his functional ego being reasonable, but then his redeemed ego, if I can use that language for you, his redeemed ego says, but it's not what I want, it's what you want. You see, the redeemed ego will turn loose of what it needs or thinks it needs to submit to what is best from God the Father. See, I didn't give my kids everything they wanted. My parents didn't give me everything I wanted. My children didn't give their kids everything they want. Why do we do that? Because we want what is best. You know, you haven't really been a parent until your kid tells you they hate you. That's when you know you're being a parent and not their best friend. They don't need you as their best friend. They need you as their parent. That's a whole nother sermon. But we don't give them everything they want because we know they can't handle it, number one. Number two, it's not best for them. They don't know how to use that yet. They don't know what to do with it. They don't know how to be safe. But I have something else for you. Let me tell you, God knows exactly what you need. He knows when you're ready for it. And he's not stingy. He's not trying to withhold it. He's not trying to make you beg for it. He's just saying, I've got things for you that you're not ready to handle yet. You're not ready to receive them. As we get to know him, the more open we are to receiving from him, and the more able we are to handle what he gives us. Can you just give him a great big praise offering this morning? The functional ego seeks its own will and can become stuck. It's functional, it's rational. This is where a lot of people, and maybe you're here this morning, or maybe you're listening online, or maybe you're listening to this at some other time, when being a Christian just doesn't make sense. Your functional ego just can't wrap your brain around submitting and laying your life down to somebody else. Doesn't make sense to your functional ego. I've had people just want to argue with me about tithing. It doesn't make sense. Why would I give 10% of my income and expect that the 90% is going to go further? That doesn't make sense. You see, your functional ego can get you stuck in your rationalization, and you can't understand what God is doing. I've had people say to me, why do these people come to church and raise their hands and dance around? It just doesn't make sense. You see, your functional ego will always try to make rationale out of the things that God is doing. How can God heal? It doesn't make sense to my functional ego. Let me tell you, you can get stuck in your functional ego and never experience all the blessings and the power and the glory of God. You can be stuck in your you can be stinking in stuck in your functional ego and be a believer, but you only go as far as your belief will allow you to go. Your traditions, your understanding, and you get stuck because you don't accept what God is doing beyond your belief system. That's why we've got so many denominations, so many different churches, different kinds of churches. They get stuck. They're in their functional ego. This is what we know about God. And then we condemn the other church because they have a different experience. I want to tell you, God's got more for us than we've ever experienced, and there's not enough denominations in the world to capture everything about God. We don't need to get stuck in our belief system. We need to get moving by getting into the Word of God and finding out what God's Word says. All right. The neurotic ego demands its own way and won't turn loose. And we often call that faith. Ouch. Neurotic ego is not faith. I'll unpack more of that in a moment. It's easy to get stuck in the neurotic ego. The neurotic ego always leans on its own understanding. It's got me in trouble many times in my life, leaning on my own understanding, thinking I had it figured out, thinking I knew what I was doing, thinking I knew where I was going. I told this story earlier. Joyce and Gary, they attend here. I don't know if they're here today, but been friends of mine and Sharon's for over 30 years. We've taken trips together. We've done business together. One year, a number of years ago, we were in California, and I wanted to take them to a place that I had been taken to eat. And it was in Hollywood. It was on Rodeo Drive. It was called RJ's Rib Joint, iconic place there, that on that strip. Food's great. And I wanted to take them there. We were driving up from the Laguna Beach area to Hollywood. And this was before we had GPSs, by the way. Thank God for GPSs. But I was leaning on my own understanding. I knew where we were going. And unfortunately, I got off at the wrong exit. And we were stuck somewhere in the downtown metropolitan area of Los Angeles. And we were lost. We were so lost. They kept telling me, pull over, ask for directions. We guys have a neurotic ego when it comes to asking for direction. We know how to get there. We know how to find it. I said, no, I've got this. After about the third time we'd gone around the same buildings, the same place, Gary says to me, well, you might have it, but we keep having it in the same place. Can we just stop it? And I said, no, let's try one more time. I've got this. I know how to get there. Have you ever been there spiritually? I know how to do this. I don't need somebody else to tell me how to do it. I know how to do this. And they got mad at me, and I was mad at them. They were mad at me because I wouldn't stop, and I was angry with them because they wouldn't trust me. Finally, I'm embarrassed to tell you this, 2 hours later, I stopped at a gas station and asked the people where I was supposed to be going. First one told me they'd never heard of it. Second one told me how to get there, and we were about 10 miles away. We finally got there. Do you think we enjoyed a meal? They were so mad at me. They didn't even want to order. They said, let's just go home. I said, nope. We got here, and by golly, we're going to eat. Whether you like it or not, I didn't say that out loud, but I said, we're here, we're going to eat, we're going to have a good time, and we're going to enjoy it. You see, the neurotic ego never wants to give in. We can get stuck in our spiritual walk, arguing with God, arguing with the circumstances, then we can get stuck there until we've made everybody else mad. And we get mad. See, it's easy to get stuck when we're leaning on our own understanding. Now, the Bible tells us that God will give us the desires of our heart. He doesn't tell us that He will give us the cravings of our flesh. We got to learn to know the difference between the desire of our heart and the cravings of our flesh. We'll get stuck on getting the cravings of our flesh fulfilled without surrendering and submitting to the will of God. The redeemed ego will always say, not my will, your will be done. James chapter 4 is a great verse. It says in the 13th, 15th, and now I have a word for you who brashly announce today, at the least tomorrow, we're off to such and such a city for the year. We're going to start a business and make a lot of money. Sounds reasonable. Functional ego, making plans for the future, making plans to go to another city, start a new business, expand the business, whatever it might have been. But he said, no. He said, that's not the way it's supposed to work. See, the functional ego will always make plans. But he said, here, however, the redeemed ego seeks the will of God more than the opportunity of the moment. Can I just tell you this morning that every opportunity is not from God? Every opportunity is not from God. Every open door is not from God. You better make sure it's the door he opened and not the door your neurotic ego opened. Okay. So here's what he says. Here's how we're supposed to say it. If the master wills it and we're still alive, we will do this or that. The redeemed ego always submits to the purpose and the plan of God. Is this helping anybody? All right. I've got myself in slow gear to keep my voice clear. So hopefully you're getting this. It's not in my notes, so it won't be on the screen. But there's a verse in Genesis chapter 11. I think it's like verse 31 or 32. It says that Terah, the father of Abraham, he got Abraham and Lot and his family, and they were leaving their homeland to go to the land of Canaan, God's promise, God's provision. They were on their way, Terah and his son Abram, his grandson Lot, Haran's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and set out from the Ur of the Chaldeans for the land of Canaan. But they got as far as Haran, and they settled down there. An in-depth study of this passage will reveal a lot of things to you. One is that on this journey that Abraham, or that Terah's son, Haran, the brother of Abraham, died. One version said died in the presence of his father. It is suggesting that maybe he was holding him and he died in his arms. And then they settled in a place by the same name. We don't know if he gave the place that name or if it already had that name. But if you look up the meaning of the name Haran, as it relates to where they settled, and the word means a place of anger, a dry place, a place of sore displeasure. Number of synonyms in there that describes this place where they settled. The word settled simply means gave up. They settled in this place of hurt. They settled in this place of anger. The loss, maybe it was the loss of the son that caused this place of hurt, this place of anger, this place of sore displeasure. It's really easy to get stuck in a place of hurt, a place of woundedness, a place of disappointment. You can get stuck there and spin your wheels, but until you reconcile that in relationship with God, you'll never get out of that place. In fact, if you go on and read this, before Abraham could go on They're looking for the city whose builder and maker was God. Terah, the father, had to die. See, there's some things we just have to turn loose of. We have to let it die. People have done you wrong. I get that. I've been in ministry for a long time, was part of a denominational system for a long time. And there were times that people had good intentions but were not able to fulfill those intentions. They made promises they didn't know how to keep or didn't have the ability to keep. And there were times I could have settled down into woundness and hurtness and anger, but I told Sharon many times, we had this kind of prayer, we talked this way all the time, we're not going to allow the circumstances of others or the circumstances around us to dictate who we are or what's happening. We have to turn loose of hurts. We got to turn loose of anger, or it will keep us stuck and we'll never reach the place that God wants us to reach in Him. Is that helpful? I can tell you firsthand, you know this. I can identify with many of you. The loss of a loved one, my wife. But God never promised she was going to live forever in my life, in this physical body. I got news for you. Flash. We're all going to die. Does that make it hurt less? No. But I'm telling you, you don't have to get stuck in the disappointment. You don't have to get stuck in the hurt place. You don't have to get stuck in the grieving process. God's got a way for you to move forward. All right. Find out where I am. Lost my place. The neurotic ego would rather be stuck than surrender. The functional ego can adjust to circumstances. The neurotic ego demands circumstances adjust to themselves. In other words, you all are supposed to change for me. All of you are supposed to be different so that I can feel better. So everybody else is supposed to adjust to the neurotic ego's demands. So we get stuck here. We get stuck in the ideology that if we think it, we believe it, it's supposed to happen. And that goes back to that ideology that we had back in the late 70s, early 80s. Claim it, name it, and claim it. Kind of went through our system there for a while till we got out of that, because we came to understand that such a belief is a foothold for this neurotic ego. It becomes attached. We become attached to the outcome. When you get attached to the outcome, you become fixated and you call it faith. Now, hang on with me here for just a moment. I got to tell you this. It's too juicy not to tell. I had this happen on more than one occasion. I've had people tell me about it that happened to them in other places. Had it happen right here several years ago. Had somebody come to my office, share with me, Dr. McCray, God told me that's going to be my husband. Had the second person come. God told me such and such is going to be my husband. Third one came. God told me such and such was going to be my husband. Had the fourth one come. God told me this person was going to be my husband. Fifth one came. Now I'm being entertained. God told me this person was going to be my husband. And I said, wow, I didn't know that God was a polygamist, that he could make so many promises. You see, sometimes, and it's not just about that, we get fixated on other things, how things are supposed to be, how it's supposed to happen. I was supposed to have that job. I claimed that job. I wanted that job. And then we find out we got it. Be careful what you demand. Be careful what you demand of God. He might give in and give it to you, and then you find out that that's not what you wanted. And then you start cursing what God gave you because you asked for it. Okay. The neurotic ego is easily offended. It would rather be offended than to be corrected. And the neurotic ego always acts out in drama. Drama is simply the manifestation of a trauma that has not been healed. So when we're acting out in drama, we're really manifesting, showing something that has not been healed in us. Now, sometimes people's drama, we look at them and we think, they're being so childish. Well, it's probably a childhood trauma that they're still trying to get healed, and they're acting it out. I was working one time with a couple. This guy was the CEO of a multimillion-dollar company. And his wife told me she needed to pick him up at the office one day. His car was being serviced, and he was upset with her. And so he wouldn't even get in the front seat of the car. He gets in the back seat and pouts. Said his lip just dropped down like a two-year-old pouting. Multimillion-dollar CEO, but behaving like a child, dramatizing his wounds of the past. When you are caught in drama, recognize God's trying to show you something that he wants to heal that is in you. It's not about somebody, what somebody did to you. It's about what God wants to do for you and through you. Our behaviors often reveal what God is trying to do, but our neurotic ego will hang on and choose to be offended rather than to be healed. Here's something the Lord spoke to my heart, definitely, as I was working on this message to ministry leaders. I don't care if you're a paid staff, whether you're volunteer staff, wherever you're working in the church, it doesn't matter. You don't become so attached to your position, to your title, that that becomes your identity. God changes things from time to time. Now, I've been around here a long time. I've been in CFTN now over 14 years. That just amazes me. I didn't know when I retired from ministry I was going to live this long. But here I am. So I've seen this over and over and over. People get so attached. Their identity gets attached to their success, or it gets attached to their position, or it gets attached to their identity as their labels. And then if that label gets changed or God moves in a different way, boy, you'll see drama coming to the surface too often. Now, I'm not suggesting we always do everything right as leaders at CFTN, but I am telling you it always comes from a heart that has sought God, seeking God, and sometimes we do make mistakes, but let me tell you, our mistake is not your place to get stuck. It's your place to find out what God wants to do in your heart and in your life. And God forbid you go on Facebook or social media and do your drama. Keep your drama. hold on to where you are lightly. I say this. I told the 9 o'clock service, I sat on the front row here because that's where I've been asked to sit. My ego does not need to sit on the front row. I could be just as happy sitting in the back somewhere. Tried that a few times. It's caused a commotion. So I go to the front row. My ego, I don't need to sit on the front row to be a part of CFTN. I don't need to speak in this pulpit to be a part of CFTN. I don't have to teach an SOM to be a part of CFTN. I'm not here because of what I get to do. I'm here because I love this church. If they told me tomorrow, Pastor, you got to sit on the back, I'd sit on the back. Wouldn't hurt my ego at all. In fact, I might slip in and slip out when you didn't know. But my point is this. If you don't love being here because of the culture and the DNA of this church, and you're looking for a position or authority or a title, you're going to end up in a neurotic state, and you're going to start demanding something that's not yours to demand. Disciples got in a neurotic ego state, and they came to the Lord, and they said, one of us wants to sit on your right hand, the other wants to sit on your left hand. We're demanding a position in the kingdom. Jesus said, you don't even know what you're asking. You don't know what you're asking for. Let me tell you, you want to be Pastor Mike, you don't know what you're asking for. You got to know you're in God's will to work in the kingdom of God, because everything will come against you. I got to move on. The redeemed ego always lives in a relationship with Jesus Christ. The neurotic ego gets fixated in religion and rules. I could unpack this whole thing with Saul before he became Paul, and how he was stuck in a neurotic religious state, actually out killing Christians, torturing the body of Christ, in thinking that he was right and everybody else was wrong. So he's in a neurotic state. But here's what he says about that in Galatians 2 and 20. If the worship team wants to come on, we'll start putting some brakes on this. Here's what he said from the Message translation. What actually took place is this. I tried keeping rules and working my head off to please God, and it didn't work. See, any time in your Christian walk that you could identify with that, I can certainly raise my hand to it. So I quit being a lawman so that I could become God's man. Christ's life showed me how and enabled me to do it. I identified myself completely with him. Indeed, I have been crucified with Christ. My ego is no longer central. It is no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion, and I am no longer driven to impress God. Christ lives in me. Could you just say that with me this morning? Christ lives in me. Let's say it with some conviction. Christ lives in me. Let's say it so the devil can hear it. Christ lives in me. Give him a great big praise offering this morning. He says, the life you see me living is not mine. Anything that we do, any wisdom we have, any insight that comes out of us, any good thing, it's not me, it's him. Sometimes people ascribe wisdom to me. I don't have any more wisdom than anybody else in this house. If it falls out of my mouth, it's not me. It's coming from God. It's not us. It is the power of God. Insight is from God. Everything that's good comes from Him. Pastor Mike oftentimes says it this way: if it's not good, it's not God. But if it is good, it's God. He said, so it's not mine, but it is lived by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me, and I'm not going back. How many can say this morning, I'm not going back? I'm not going back to that hurt place. I'm not going back to that illusion. I'm not going back to undoing it my way. I'm not going back to understand, leaning onto my own understanding. I'm going to surrender my spirit. I'm going to surrender my ego to not my will, but Thy will be done. Stand to your feet with me this morning. Give the Lord a great big praise offering in this house. Remember those spinning wheels I was telling you about, stuck on the right road home? My first time I got stuck like that, my first inclination was to gun it. Put my foot on the accelerator, rev that engine up. I watched my speedometer. My speedometer was reading 30, 40, 50, 60 miles an hour, but I was going nowhere, stuck. And then I noticed something. When I lifted my foot off of the accelerator, as I got to that place where it was really slowing down, I got traction. I got traction. Sometimes in our walk with the Lord, and we're in a difficult place, our first inclination, pray more, pray harder, read the Bible more, go to church more. All those things are good, but sometimes we just have to stop. Here's what God told Moses: stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. In other words, quit judging yourself. What did I do wrong? Quit condemning yourself. I didn't do enough. Quit shaming yourself. In other words, quit making it about you and start making it about Him. Isaiah told us, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. I'm not a patient waiter. I want it now. My ego wants it my way. But when I stop, stand still, quit making it about me and make it about Him, I find traction. Prayer team, would you come? We're going to break through. We're going to get some traction today.
So we sing, and I'm going to see a victory. I'm going to see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory.
Stay in worship.
I'm gonna
if you want prayer, come forward.
For
whatever it is, you may need salvation today. You feel stuck. Agree with somebody. Let a prayer partner here agree with you. You've been fighting for your healing. We're gonna surrender to healing. You've been fighting for your finances. We're going to surrender to God's provision. where you've been fighting for your marriage, we're going to surrender to God's purpose and God's plan. Surrender is the most powerful part of the redeemed ego. Not my will, your will be done. Just stay in a spirit of worship. Praise the Lord.
For the battle belongs to you, Lord.
I'm gonna see it.
I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory.
For the battle.
For the battle belongs to you, Lord.
I'm gonna see it.
I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory.
For the battle.
Bless you. Thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for putting up with my raspy voice. Take the word of the Lord home with you. Pastor will be back next week. God bless you. If you're here for prayer, stay right here. Prayer partners will get to you. God bless you and thank you.